It's Morphin time on the latest episode of Retconned, when we interview Power Rangers costume designer Kelly Jones. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Retconned, a podcast of assorted geekery. I'm Rick Marshall, and today we're talking to Kelly Jones, the costume designer for this year's big screen reboot of Power Rangers. From the biker style in Sons of Anarchy to the out-of-this-world costumes worn by the characters in Power Rangers, Kelly has had a hand in shaping some of the most memorable clothing worn by the heroes and villains of a long list of series. Before developing the look for this year's Power Rangers film, she earned acclaim for her work on the FX series Sons of Anarchy and the recent NWA biopic Straight Outta Compton. So how did she get from there to the world of alien-fighting Power Rangers? We asked Kelly that very same question in the latest episode of Retconned. Kelly, thank you for joining us on the show. First off, I'd love to know how you ended up on Power Rangers movie. Looking at all the great films and TV shows you've worked on over the years, nothing really screams out superhero movie here.
I know, and I was actually surprised when I first got the call. It was something I wasn't expecting, and actually the call came in for me to meet the director about a week or so after Straight Outta Compton came out. So I was just a little confused, and you know, I talked to the producers, and I actually knew one of the producers, and he said that the director had imagined it darker. Like, it was just a darker take on the Power Rangers, and it wasn't like, you know, them in spandex suits. Like, everything was a little bit more futuristic and just kind of more alien and just kind of a darker version of it. And there was a Breakfast Club element to it, where the kids were all sort of like archetypes of their high schools, and you know, there was, you know, the brooding one, and just he thought that I could bring something kind of cool and edgy to it. So I met with the director, and him and I hit it off, and I saw some of the illustrations that were in his room and just basically his mood boards and everything. And it's exactly, if I had to have done a Power Rangers movie and just done it by myself, it's kind of what I would exactly have imagined. So that, it just went from there. I really loved his vision. I thought it was the direction I thought was very cool and very new. And again, just something that was a little bit darker and kind of like off the beaten pathway of the normal Power Rangers. So that's how I got connected with it. So yeah.
Well, is there a particular costumes design that you're really proud of for this one? Because it feels like there's a lot of very signature costumes that differ in particular ways from the original. So was there something that really encapsulates the experience of working on the film for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first superhero show that movie that I've done, and it's also, you know, some superhero movies and TV shows, it's kind of, you know, sometimes there's so many now, sometimes they're just in normal clothes, and you know, they're made to order clothes, but they're not as specific as these were. So it was Rita's costume that I really am most proud of, because she, you know, I found out, you know, Dean and I talked, that she was, you know, she used to be a ranger, and she was a Green Ranger, and then, you know, she was, you know, she comes back to life, and it's just kind of like this morphed, twisted version of a ranger suit. So they had a couple of the people that were making the Power Ranger suits down in New Zealand, had some of their illustrators just take a couple of stabs at it. And I think, you know, some of them were great, but I don't know if the whole team was resonating with it. So they asked me if I wanted to start with some illustrations of Rita. And I said, absolutely. So I worked with an illustrator for a couple months and gave them, you know, various versions of what I thought would be cool and, you know, still a little sexy, but not too gratuitous. And you know, at that point, we had no idea who was going to be the actress playing her. So I did a bunch of illustrations. I mean, there's probably about 200 illustrations handed in just for Rita, along the same lines of what she ended up in, just like different tears out of here and some that had spikes on the back and some that didn't. So it kind of evolved from there. And then, you know, you have to be lucky at that point, you know, you hope to be lucky when the actress gets cast, because those are costumes that it takes about 10 to 12 weeks of build. And so once the actress, you can do a couple fittings along the way, maybe two as they're being built, because it's all, you know, just the way that they're built, it's not actually going out and getting, you know, the fabric. They're all 3D images. So it was once she got in it, there, once it was finished, there was only about another week before she shot in it. So it really ended up looking fantastic on her. And she was, and Elizabeth Banks was really trusting. All she saw were illustrations. And then, you know, right before she started shooting, she sees the final product on her. So it ended up, it worked out really well. And I think at the end of the day, it was just a big collective sigh of relief that it worked out so well and that she just, she killed it with that costume. So it was, that was exciting. So that was what I'm definitely most proud of.
Oh, certainly. Well, as I'm sure you're well aware at this point, Power Rangers is one of those properties that carries a lot of nostalgic baggage. So I have to ask, how did you decide what to keep and what to drop when you approached this particular sort of problem here? What's that process like behind the scenes?
You know, I just wanted, I mean, what to keep and what to drop. I think when I went into Dean's office, the director, he already had, illustrators had been working for a year on the actual Power Rangers suit. So that process, they had, the build had not been started, which is a whole different, I helped with the build of it, but those, the illustrations and the basic concepts for the suits were already on his walls. So the what to drop, how it came to be that they weren't just in these spandex suits running around, that was a conversation that Dean had with the people that were doing illustrations with Lionsgate for about a year before I was hired. So when it came to the actual, you know, the kids, I just looked at them as a blank slate, really, and just, and how it was written in the script, it is kind of Breakfast Club, and so I just kind of, you know, I took with their characters how they were written, and I just kind of played up the archetype that they were, and so I didn't, like, you know, to have, I didn't have to drop or keep anything from the original cast because I worked with just, I just put that out of my mind and I just worked with these cast members and just how it is today. And I wanted to make everything, you know, a little, you know, definitely current and cool. And so that's kind of what I did with that. And then with Rita, again, I just worked with her as a blank slate. Like she, at that point, isn't like a space witch. She didn't have like the big cones and, you know, the big dress. Like she was a ranger at one point. So, you know, to get her design down, we also had to tweak the actual Power Rangers design because they were different. And then when I first started on Elizabeth, it was almost like you didn't want to tell that she was a ranger. So she didn't have any of the language of the ranger suits. And then it just kind of morphed into being more and more language, some of the lines and with the armor. So, you know, it really, how they basically went from the old suits to the suits they wear now was a process that I wasn't involved in for the Power Rangers. But I agreed with that. I don't think I would have done the movie had it looked just like it did back, you know, when it was, when, you know, in the original Japanese and how, you know, nostalgia, you know, remembers the Power Rangers. So I was more connected with how it ended up turning out.
Well, it's a very appropriate use of the term morphed. I have to put in there.
Yeah.
Well, whenever a popular property like Power Rangers or really like any superhero property gets updated, it seems like there's always that initial heated debate that happens when the first trailer drops or when the first images starts, you know, coming around. You know, people get the first look at the characters that they've known in past iterations, past versions of them. Do you brace yourself for that moment when people are going to start talking about this thing you've been working on for so long and likely in very heated, you know, pro and con sort of debates around them?
You know what? I don't brace myself because it's just part of, like, you know, I'm a designer and I've done a lot of shows and movies. And one movie in particular that how, you know, people had a very specific idea of what these people dress like. And, you know, I did a biker show, Sons of Anarchy, and, you know, Charlie wore white high top or white Air Force Ones. And, you know, everyone came out and they're like, bikers don't wear that. And it's just something that had I listened to that, Sons of Anarchy, most of the design of it would have been different. Like, it just, some of the guys would have been in chaps, and there, you know, there's just, it would have been, you know, everyone's running around with some Harley stuff on, you know what I mean? Like graphics. So I just have learned, and that was, you know, I realized not to listen to stuff like that as I was like 10 years ago or 9 years ago when Sun started. So since then, I've done some other shows that just in a movie that people, you know, really hold on to, like, how they knew it when it was happening, like, straight out of Compton. And so you just have to take some artistic, you know, a little bit of artistic leeway, and then you just kind of give it up. You can't please everyone. I mean, the main thing that people were saying with the Ranger suits was that it looked like Iron Man. Well, it's because the main guy is the Red Ranger, so he would be the front and center, and then it had some armor, and then, you know, they let that go. And then, you know, with Rita, people ended up liking her. I guess the approval rating for the fans was very high on her costume. But at the beginning, they see her and they're like, oh my gosh, it's like Poison Ivy. And she just has to be like, really, it could be any costume. If it was green, people are going to associate that with Poison Ivy in the beginning. And then they warm up to it. You know, it is a shock, because they also thought that she was going to be in some, you know, updated version of the dress that she used to wear. So, you know, I just don't really pay attention to that so much, because I think that would drive me crazy. And then that would also, moving forward with project to project, I would just second guess myself. And that's not how I've created anything successful in the past, nor is that going to be how I'm going to create anything successful in the future. So you just kind of have to trust your gut and trust the design that you're doing, and you trust the people that are making the project agreeing with that design and the notes that they're giving. And then once it goes out to the fans, it goes out to the fans. And, you know, the internet can be cruel sometimes. So you just try not to get on it very often. You know, people tend to write negative things more than positive. Like, they'll go out of their way. You know, look at Yelp. Like, you just go out of your way and make sure people, everybody knows that you're not improving with something. So, you know, just don't pay attention, really. You know, just laugh it off, you know.
I think that's a pretty safe way to approach it there. Well, I found it interesting you mentioned Sons of Anarchy and Straight Outta Compton, both of which are amazing, but they're so grounded in this sort of gritty reality. And Power Rangers is this colored, rainbow, bright environment. Did you have to kind of reset your approach to make that transition? It seems like it could be really jarring mentally and from a creative standpoint.
You know, because, I mean, even when we were shooting, everything was just darker and grittier. And just even the locations we were at, we were in Vancouver and it was, you know, winter and it was raining every day. And we were outside nighttime, hard nights, you know, 34 degrees and pouring down rain. And so with the clothing reflected that, I did a lot of earth tones. I didn't do a lot of really hot colors, and there were no pastels and a couple primary palettes in there. But other than that, I mean, the color palette has stayed the same. And, you know, it is kind of there's just such a different vibe of the movie than some of the TV shows, some episodes in the TV show that had happened. So it wasn't exactly in my wheelhouse, but I didn't have to totally jump to another one for it. So, and I thought, you know, there's a reason that, there's a reason I have things that are what I call in my wheelhouse. It's because I'm really good at them. So I will have like my certain stamp on certain projects that I do. And I would just figure if you didn't want that stamp, like maybe I wouldn't be on the right person for that job. So that's why, you know, when I don't get a job that I'm into, it's like, you know what, I'm just not the right person. Like my stamp wouldn't work on that. So I think without it making it look like a gang show, I think the kids ended up in Power Rangers, they ended up coming together and towards the end, like they look like they could have been like just a really cool group at school. But, you know, just I just think that the way like the fabrics that I used and just the colors and the graphics, I just think they all kind of came together and they transitioned throughout from when they didn't know each other in the beginning to when they, you know, were all Power Rangers and they were all buddies at the end. So
well, what's next for you?
I did a pilot that's going to be out on FX called Snowfall, which is about, it's John Singleton has produced it, and it's about, comes out next month, and it's about how crack cocaine started in South Central in the early 80s. And then I did a movie with David Ayer, who directed End of Watch and Fury and Suicide Squad, and that just wrapped a couple months ago, and that's with Will Smith. And that is, again, it's kind of an alternate reality where it's an alternate reality where there's mutants among aliens. And so there's a bunch of gangs, and it's based in South Central, and Will plays a cop, and Joel Edgerton, and there's gangs, and there's aliens, and there's darkness, and there's magic, and it's just very cool. And visually, it's a pretty stunning piece. I actually saw I saw one cut of it a couple weeks ago. So that comes out in December. And then right now I'm working on a show called The Gifted, which is superhero, but it's a Marvel show. It's for Fox. And it's kind of like the mutants and the X-Men mutants that are kind of like, you know, like the darker version. And so again, like everything kind of fits in my wheelhouse, a little bit of difference here and there. So that's what I have going on now. And that comes out fall of this year.
Wow. Certainly sounds like you're not shying away from the more fantastic stuff there. But I thank you very much for taking the time to talk Power Rangers with us, Kelly, and best of luck with everything coming up.
Thank you so much. It was good to talk to you.
That was costume designer Kelly Jones talking to Retconned about her work on Power Rangers and other big and small screen projects. This has been Retconned, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Our producer is Patrick Garrett. I'm Rick Marshall. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or your podcast app of choice. It lets us know you're out there and that you want to hear more.